Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Baghdad, Iraq, and learned the grocery store business as a young boy from his dad. In 1973, he opened the first Merchant of Vino Marketplace, a specialty food and wine store. After growing it to 7 stores, he sold them to Whole Foods in 1998. 2 of his sons, Mark and Matthew, are following his legacy with Plum Market. A modern-day Horatio Alger story, his name, Ed Jonah. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Ed Jonah, who in 73 opened the first Merchant of Vino Marketplace, a specialty food and wine store, eventually grew it to 7 stores. 51 years, your soulmate, your partner, a huge portion of your success. Tell us about Juliet.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her and for giving me 4 great children that came up in the business. But one of the factors was in 1980, we were opening the Northwestern store, wrong side of the street. Nobody knew us on the west side, on the wrong side to, on the way going, you know, home. And we were very nervous about opening because we did sell a lot of liquor at that time, no liquor license. So we were ready to open the store, and I was looking to do a charity event and get a caterer to cater the opening. And Julia said, "I'll do it. I know how to cook." And the next day, Sandy Sullivan of the news wrote more about Juliet's food than she did about the Merchant of Vino, which then people came in the store. We want that food. And that was the beginning of actually carry-out food, in which I want to give a lot of credit to Juliet, in 1980, where she prepared from a tiny little kitchen. She produced the most fantastic foods anybody could take home. And that enhanced, and her thing was that the Merchant of Vino should not be, at that time you said to your husband, go get a bottle of liquor and get some wine. She thought that the wine shop should be for women as well. And she wanted flowers. She wanted to add the woman's touch to it. And because women shoppers at that time start going to pick up the wine and the beverages, not just sending your husband to shop.
Tell us about the milk story, if you would.
Well, you know, my dad, like we said, we learn a lot from our fathers. And 14 years old, standing in the store next to him, a young lady brings back milk, and she said, "This milk is spoiled." And my dad looked at her and smiled, said, "Thank you, we'll take it back." Me being the smart aleck, I grabbed the milk and opened it up and start to smell it. And my dad didn't say nothing after she left, and I heard a big slap on the back of my head. My dad said, "What did you do?" I says, "Nothing. I just wanted to smell and see if the milk was spoiled." He said, "You just called the customer a liar." He said, "You can never insult your customer. They are the king and queen of your business. You must treat them with respect. If you're going to take something back, take it back proudly."
That explains why you have that indentation on the back,
in the back of my head.
All right. The world-famous cheese story.
Well, the cheese story actually began when we opened the Northwestern store, and that was in 1980. The lady by name of Sylvia Krause, which was a dear, dear friend for many years after that, walked into the store with a foil-wrapped piece of cheese that said that the cheese was spoiled and moldy, and she wanted to return it. But just being open 3 weeks, I opened the cheese, and it was Saga Blue, which is a German cheese that has supposed to mold. And I took it back, and I says, "Of course it's moldy." Learned and remembering about the spoiled milk. And weighed in, it was $1.28. And she says, I said, "Do you want your money back, or you want to?" She said, "No, I'll walk around the store." She ended up buying $12, $13 worth of stuff. Gave her credit, and as she was ready to walk out, she says, "What's your name?" I says, "Eddie Jonah." She says, "You know, you're going to make it here, Sonny, because you took the cheese back without asking any questions. And I want you to know, I didn't even buy the cheese here. I bought it in another store." And when I went to take it back to the other store, they told me, "What? It's supposed to be moldy. It's Saga Blue, but you took it back. And I said, Sylvia, the cheese is moldy. That's all, the end of the story, and I took it back. She became a great customer. On November 16th, she walks in with her husband, Nate. You know how you don't want to go to a store like your wife is pulling you by the ear? She says, this is Ed Jonah, my good friend. My husband needs a basket. I says, great. So he says, what is this? I says, this is olive oil, extra virgin. This is balsamic. This is chocolate. He kept throwing things in the basket and got a bigger basket. Pretty soon the basket was $302. That says, for you, Nate, $300 even. You know, when you buy a suit for $604, the guy wants the $4. So make it a round figure of $300. He said to me, Ed, can you deliver? I says, of course I can deliver. He says, I need 120 of them. $36,000 order from a $1.28 piece of cheese. And that is a true story.
We're talking to the iconic Eddie Jonah, Merchant of Vino. Now his sons have Plum Market. One more story, if you would, Ed.
Well, this story of, I will bring my boys, Mark and Matthew. I have a story that I learned many years ago in tasting wines and going to wine vineyards. And I said to the guy, why do you make such great wine? He says, because I stress the vine to make good wine. And I think in all our life, we must stress our children to become good leaders, good producers, and instill in them what they don't learn in college. And the story that I want to tell you is for the people out there that are thinking, you can give your children a lot, but the most basic thing that you can give them is great stories about your life and your family and your attitude in life. And my boys have come, not only my boys, my two daughters, which are just as successful as my two boys, Monica and Michelle. And Jack was asking me, how do I feel when I walk into Plum? It is probably the most satisfying thing of my life, because when I walk into those stores and see what these two boys have created on their own, with a little help sometime, but the help is that I brought them into this country, and that's all I've done for Plum. But what they have done is very gratifying, to see your children do a job better than you can.
Today, Ed, in the mistaken name of love, so many parents want to save the kids from the very thing that made us who we are. And what you say is, stretch the vine and you'll get good wine.
That's it. You must stress. There's a guy in California, which we sell, calls them dirty tomatoes and dirty girl tomatoes. Let me correct that. And we sell them for about 3 weeks at a time, and he makes the most incredible tasting tomatoes in the world. So we call him up, what makes your tomato different? And he doesn't water them. And if you know any good wines and good fruit, if you overwater anything, and I mean by overwatering, over giving your kids too much money or spoiling people and stuff like that, you don't create that great vine. You don't create the better wine. You don't create the better tomato. So I think that where that phrase come was from my dad. He didn't make it easy for me. And I never forget when my dad, at one time, I was in line for the next store, and my dad said, no, I'm going to give it to your uncle. And he needs it more because he's got a family with kids and everything. And I kind of felt bad, but he was stressing me where I went on my own and I created whatever I wanted. And I wanted to be his partner in the food business. And his story was, Eddie, here's a plate of food. Do you want half of this plate, or do you want to go out and make your own and get your own? And that's what life is about. It's not about taking from your parents what they leave you. It's about taking and what you create for yourself and be success of your own self.
For 24 years, you and Juliet built, ran the Merchant of Vino. It was a second family to you. Talk about those 24 years.
You know, they're the most gratifying times of my life, because it was like, a startup computer company. You know, really, it was, in a sense, a startup, because wine was not respected at that time. And building it step by step, you know, having people like Mondavi, where they used to fly over Detroit, now started becoming him here. Juliet's idea was that, you must get out of the box, or you must get out of your context to see what's going on. We made frequent trips to Napa Valley, to Europe, to everywhere, and this created a love for this business. Like, and we used to bring products back. I mean, Juliet used to say, New York is another world. It's not part of the United States. And when we went there and brought products and put them in the store, and people would come very disappointed. Eddie, I just went to New York to buy this cracker, and here you have it in your store. So the Merchant of Vino was a step by step. Another thing I want to tell people that are young starting a business, every 5 years you have to reinvent yourself. The Merchant of Vino was reinvented 5 times in a row. And the last time it was invented, actually was reinvented by Mark coming to the business, adding more to the wine business, and Matthew coming in and adding the homeopathics.
We're talking to Ed Jones, and when we come back, we'll ask him about the bidding war between Wild Oats and Whole Foods in 98. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Ed Jonah. And Ed, take us back to 1998 and Wild Oats and Whole Foods get into a bidding war.
Well, Wild Oats came in to buy the business, and Juliet kept saying, you boys are really giving it away because your potential of earning and what you can make in this business, and I have a lot of belief in you, Mark, and Matthew, and the girls. Why are we selling this business and they're underpaying you? And even though they were giving us a lot of money, Juliet was totally against all of us, saying, no, we're not going to do it. So we ended up not doing that. And then I got a call from sitting in my office. The guy said, my name is Jim Sudd. Is your business for sale? And I said, no, my business is not for sale, knowing that Julie didn't want to sell to Wild Oats. And I hung up, and he called back again and said, is your business for sale? We want to buy your business. And I said no the second time. And then Matthew walked in the office and said, who was that, Dad? I said, some guy from Whole Foods, Jim Sudd, wanted to buy. You turned him down? It's one of the best food companies coming around. I says, well, he'll call back. And surely enough, he did. And when he called back, he said they were flying in. And they flew in on a Tuesday, and being afraid to take them around the stores, not the employees, you know, hearing about you want to sell and all that, we kind of tried to play it down, and they looked at the stores, they said, we want to have lunch. And that was about 11 o'clock, and I said to Julia, I called Julia, and I said, Julia, you got to put a lunch together because we're going to bring them to the house. I don't want to be seen in a restaurant. So she cooked up a great meal, and we ended up going into Juliet's wine cellar, which is one of these days I'll tell you how that started. And we had a great lunch, and John Mackey said, I want your business. I want to know if this house comes with it and Julie's wine cellar. And I said, no. And he made us an incredible offer, which, you know, you work hard in this world, but sometime you get real lucky. And every you guys know when you're playing golf, you know, you hit a shot you didn't expect, and you need a little bit of luck, and that was the luck that we got. But the luck just didn't come. It came from hard work.
My dad used to say, when you're his age, you don't buy green bananas. The time is brief. Tell us about Juliet's wine cellar.
Well, Juliet's wine cellar, when Julie came into the business, her thing, she didn't want money. She wasn't doing it for the money. And she would say, just pay me in wine. When you get a good case of wine, put my name on it and put it. And in 1980, when we built the Merchant of Vino on Northwestern Highway, it was, I don't know if many of you remember, it was 7,000 square feet upstairs where the food and everything. But then you went down a beautiful cellar that an Italian guy built for me. And when you went down there the idea was to make this a little different, because I believe wine is a living thing and you have to treat it temperature controlled. So I thought this would be a real different aspect to approaching wine, where the wine is usually on a shelf, not protected from heat and stuff. So the wine cellar, we had 8,000 square feet of wine underneath the basement. And then what we did, we put in 22 lockers. So you could rent a locker. If you bought your wine, you could rent a locker and put the wines in there. And we had a locker for JP, and we had a locker for the governor. We had a locker for Dick Purton, and all with their names on it. And they would buy. And when they saw those names, other people wanted a locker. So the people would come to buy great wines, wanted to create a wine cellar, but they lived in an apartment or they didn't start their wine cellar. So we put all the wine away in then. And the Wine Spectator in 1983 came to visit the store, Marvin Schenken, which was a dear friend of mine that I met many years before, came into the store and said, "This is the greatest wine shop I've seen because you have the love for wine that you keep in the temperature control." And so he named us as one of the top 10 stores in the United States in 1985.
Now you go to Andiamo's Giovacari, they have those lockers. You go to Luciano's Bacos, they have those lockers. Another thing you started. As you tell more stories, maybe the real guest we should have here at Jonah is Juliet Jonah.
Exactly. I asked her to come with me, and she said Juliet was always in the background. I mean, we used to do catering parties where people would come in and say, "Eddie, what a great salad." They didn't know I didn't make it. "Eddie, what great food you have here." So she always... never wanted the limelight, and she's truly deserves it a lot more than I do.
George Burns and Gracie Allen, right here.
And even much better than that.
All right, 2007, your sons Mark and Matthew start a store called Plum Market.
Well, that's a unique story because at the time that we sold out, we had a non-compete for 5 years. My son Mark worked for Whole Foods for 6 years that he was working there. And a little story about Mark. Mark, when he went to work for Whole Foods, they were a $1.5 billion company doing wine sales of about 1%. When he left, their sales were $4 billion and 7% was wine. So he did a great job building their wine business. And John Mackey said, the greatest thing about buying the Merchant of Vino was Mark Jonah. And he put us on the map in the wine business. And Mark traveled all over the world buying great wines and made great wine shops out of Plum Store, out of Whole Foods. So then we were, at that time, Mark, my son Matt was in charge of all the real estate development for us, and we had done a development that was going to be in Royal Oak, and we needed a retail store on the first floor. And Matt said, "You know what, Dad, I grew up in the business. I can do it, and if I can convince Mark to leave Whole Foods and come, we can open a food shop again, and let's do it again." And I said, "Great, let's do it." But unfortunately, that location never worked out. The Lasher and 15 Mile location became the first Plum Market, and it was a success from the first day because Matt and Mark took it beyond any expectation that I ever dreamed that a food store could go to.
How did you ever come up with the name Plum Market?
Well, there was we had a accumulation of about 80 names, and that a young lady in Ann Arbor helped, and Matt and Mark went through the whole list, and they kept coming back to the word plum. In the beginning, I didn't like it. They liked it. But, a plum means choice. It means rewarding. And it is a name, again, like Merchant of Vino. It just kind of sticks with you.
What's the biggest thing, Eddie, your sons have taught you these last 6 years through Plum Market?
Well, one of the main things that I've always believed in, but they took it to another level. When you walk into a food show store, what is the most important thing that you think a customer wants? It's not price. It's not what the customers told us. They wanted a clean store. They wanted products that are up to date. They wanted healthy merchandise. And one thing about, I got to thank Victor helped design the first store, Victor Soroki, which is my son-in-law. And the boys took it to another level in adding to that design between Mark and Matthew and made the store streamline, and they cater to the customer. Cleanliness. If you walk into a Plum Market bathroom, it's got flowers in it. The floors, they spend a ton of time designing those floors, shelves, and making it very convenient and relaxing to shop.
We're talking Ed Jonah and the Merchant of Venus stores were children to him and Juliet. Now these Plum stores are grandchildren. And when we come back, we'll ask him about that. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.